Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. I don't know about you, Bruce, but I'm fired up today, like every Monday with you, but especially today. We got our first, what feels like real day of summer, or spring, whatever you want to call it today, where the AC finally went on yesterday. Let's put it that way. AC finally went on.
That's a marker for sure. Especially out there, California.
Yeah. The ocean breeze wasn't enough to keep it cool. So, you know, we went Texas style and flipped on the old air conditioning unit. And
there you go, man.
You know.
Sometimes feels, you got it.
Feels great, by the way. Actually, the first time you put it on, it's like, whoa, that nice, cool air feels nice.
Yeah, man. 2019, here we come, man. Got AC and central air and all kinds of luxuries out there. So, good, man. Yeah, the AC's been on here for quite a while, it seems. We had some 90s action this weekend, a little bit before, and yeah, it's definitely turning on. And I believe, not this Sunday, but the next, I think, is the first day of summer officially on the 21st.
That's right. I think
June 21st is our official global warming. Just kidding. First day of summer.
That's right. It's global. It's national global or first warming day.
The Verano equinox of global warming for the. Oh. Yeah, there you go. Some sort of equinox.
Your Spanish needs a little work, but that's okay.
El verano de equinox de global warming es de junio. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, listeners. Rosetta Stone. All right.
Hey, I remember her, man, in high school, man. She was no. Oh, never mind. So, yeah. So, what else is going? What else is going on out there? It's been a busy month here. Just a lot of work. You know, it is starting, kind of like the AC, and things are starting to slow down just a little bit. I'm kind of hoping that they do too, which is usually words that never come out of my mouth with my hyper work ethic or workaholism that I'm prone to. So no, I'm looking forward to actually taking a break, and that's right, on the 23rd, 24th I'll be out, so I might be in Belize that day somewhere.
Look at you finally taking a break.
I'll get up
for you.
The Steven Seagal sat phone and maybe chime in. I don't know. I doubt it'll happen.
Why don't you? No, it's okay, Bruce. I think we'll be okay.
Take a break.
We'll give our listeners a break. One of the two. We'll make sure you enjoy your break.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't get the sat phone out. No.
Get the Jason Bourne sat phone.
Your son graduated recently, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I saw some of that on Facebook. Looks like you guys are out celebrating some good food, right?
Always good food, good family, and big celebration for him. And you know, got directly admitted into a business school, pretty well-known business school, so that's always an honor to get that off the gate, you know, as a sight unseen freshman. And we just secured his roommate, and man, that was a little bit of a lift, man, getting the right housing assignment with the right roommate with the right amount of bedrooms and bathrooms and stuff like that. And I'd hate to be one of the latecomers trying to do that at a large university. So
where's he heading?
Texas A&M. So
he's going to fall in Papa's footsteps. That's so cute.
Kind of. And name only, though. I mean, he's going the full business route, and I went the full psychology route. So it's a whole different scale. What's going on there now compared to what was going on back in my day. So this is, I'm excited for him. Yeah.
Do they still do the celebratory, fires and all that?
The bonfire. Yeah. It's not kind of, ordained, but they still have some bootleg bonfires and all the good traditions and fish camp for the summer. And they still do a lot of that, stuff. So that's good.
I always find it a shame when that stuff gets stripped out because some dumbasses, ruin it for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And actually, there's a young man that died. He was from Keller, right down the street from where I'm at. And you were kind of probably in high school or thereabouts when all
I think
that
I
happened.
Was in high school, or I even may have even been in college. Actually, I think I was a freshman at UT when that happened.
Oh gosh, so you heard? Yeah, then because I think that the UT people were almost as bummed because a lot of UT people went to the bonfire and kind of secretly, you know what I mean, and had their Aggie friends, and it was a big to do. So. Justin, my only hope is that we fire up the Cotton Bowl Classic and have the Horns and the Aggies go at it, or have some sort of Southwestern cotton, some hybrid BS name for it, and have the two play at Jerryville or something at Cowboy Stadium. I think that would be a huge venue.
Yeah.
We make money hand over fist.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Brucey, I'm not too, happy with the your Aggies for leaving the conference the way they did. I think they really fucked things up for the Big 12.
they messed up a lot of revenue for the Big 12 and the Horns. I mean, they really kind of made a crap ton of money on the shoulders of that rivalry and that relationship and the A&M presence in that conference, and then to go out was a shocker. But I've said this on the show, even the first year and the second year, and then up until the time they got Johnny Manziel and stuff like that in 2012-ish. But it was just fun, man. You wake up like, God, we play Missouri today, and the next day, like, wow, we play LSU today, and the next day, wow, we play South Carolina today, and the next day, like, wow, we play Auburn. So every week, you know what I mean? You're playing a badass contender. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
I mean, even if you first year and people, oh, you guys are going to get your ass handed to you and this and that. I'm like, oh. But still, if you win those games or half of those games, or that's still a heck of a spiritual victory because you're playing a pretty solid calendar of stacked individuals. So anyway.
Well, Kenny Hill had a good couple games before he fell off the radar. But yeah, I get why they did what they did, but it just fundamentally and just geographically speaking, all the college trailblazers out there that love to follow their team, it's makes it a little bit more difficult now. You got not Virginia Tech, but West Virginia, obviously now part of Big 12, and then A&M part of the SEC. Which actually kind of makes a little bit more sense because, you've got Auburn, Alabama, whole Southeast. I mean, it's like it kind of bleeds into Texas, but West Virginia bleeding into the Big 12 doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
Like,
so,
like, what is Kentucky part of the ACC or the SEC?
They're part of the ACC.
Of the ACC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. They've been there for a minute. It seemed like somebody bled into one of those conferences in basketball. I was like, who? What? I mean, maybe it was some one-off ACC team from, you know, Missoula or something. Like, what the hell?
Nah.
I don't know what they went that far.
Missoula.
Missoula, Montana. What the hell y'all doing out here? Anyway, did Zion Johnson, Zion Williamson, Zion, ooh, sorry about that, folks. Zion Williamson.
Zion Johnson, who's he? Do I know?
I don't know. Just, oof. My profiling skills, my bad profile.
Do we need to take your temperature today?
Do some racial sensitivity or something. Did I just say that? Oh, Zion Williamson. Did he sign with anybody?
You know what? And I'm ashamed, but I'm also not ashamed to share this. So I actually don't know. I've only seen one of the finals games so far, believe it or not, even though I'm a huge NBA basketball fan. This is actually the time of the year where I kind of quietly disconnect from a lot of that stuff. I say stuff, not so much sports as much, but a little bit. Try to just sort of hanker down and just make a mad dash for the next, you know, 90 days. Because it's summertime, right? And it's a great time to get a lot of shit done in a very short amount of time from a business perspective. So for me, I do. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm somewhat ashamed to say it, but
I do know this, though. I know that he signed with some big sports agency. Then they made that announcement that he signed with whatever, Smith, Jones, and Barney or whatever, some sort of big, you know, sports agency, law firm or whatever, but I didn't get the second part of it. And you know what, there probably isn't a second part. Maybe he's just signed on with some representation, and they're moving forward with,
well, he's gonna go first. Number one, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's already been
established. So.
So it's been yeah. So other than your son graduating, I mean, anything else, you know, noteworthy, you know, to share with our listeners or with me? What else has been going on? What else is new?
Man, one of my ideas, Justin, is to build a little consortium of coaches here. And it's really, really, really in the concept stage. Just let me say that right now. And, you know, but I think I have two gentlemen that are former pro sports people that are about to finish their coaching training. And once that occurs, I'm going to try to bundle us as a team that will help, you know, struggling players with either character issues, focus issues, and, you know, things that are kind of on the outside of the sports psychology realm. So,
yep.
And utilizing their contacts. I'm not going to shake and bake and, you know, do a vaudeville thing or whatever before this owner or that owner, but allow them to use their contacts and then have a formidable pitch and those things. So it might be troubleshooting that revenue stream here in the months to come. Gosh, on paper it seems really, really hopeful. On paper, you know what I mean, these two, they're both gentlemen and of different ethnicities, and they're very, very, very winsome, very smart, very knowledgeable, and absolutely are the part and look the part as well. So,
what are you thinking? Like a training certificate, or like they go through a training program? Let's call it to get quote unquote certified, and then they become knighted to be able to go.
Yeah. Hang out a shingle.
Yep.
Kind of like what I did. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Yeah.
So, I had the whole mental health piece behind me, but certainly in the coaching realm, I did get the CPC, certified professional coach, and that'll just bode well for them and see. And the good thing about this, Justin, you know, the thing I like about it, because if they do it and we make a cut at it, and let's say, you know, God forbid, let's say it doesn't happen or it doesn't work or something goes wrong. Hey, at the end of the day, both of these individuals are certified coaches and they're up to their own devices to market and make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you can only empower people so much, and then they're sort of on their journey at that point. But I love the concept, and thanks for sharing with the listeners and obviously with myself, and however I can help, I'd love to be a part of it, because I'll tell you, I think that could be a kind of an interesting 1-2 punch there, you know, if you add in the coaching element, but you think about that transition that players, let's just use your use case you just shared a moment ago, right? Let's take that, let's examine that a bit further, right? So you've got a player, former pro athlete, or that is a current athlete that is looking for a transition plan. That is a major use case. Like that is a major need that goes unnoticed, that the time to, you know, get those folks is actually while they're, well, ideally before they even go into the pros, but let's say they're in the pros before they transition out. So you're helping them with this transitionary plan. And athletes, if they have the right character, are the perfect candidates to become coaches.
Well, and my strategy was different in this case. I like what you're saying. And the problem with what you're saying is this, is that if I'm Bruce Cameron and I've been a steady player for the Texas Rangers for, what you want to say, you want to give me 6 years in the organization, Justin? And then I've been bringing home a couple of million a year ish, if not more so. And so, you know, okay, so am I going to be able to continue, you know, at least $1 million being a coach right off the butt, you know, turnkey with Bruce Cameron? Answer, nah. You know what I mean? Probably not. And so both of these guys have been out for a while and retired for a while and literally are very appreciative.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It doesn't mean they're doing bad. It doesn't mean they're doing bad at all. You know what I mean?
But they need something, and it could be a fulfillment thing, by the way, Bruce. Yes. It could be like, hey, I'm bored. Like some guys that are retired are bored as fuck. Yes. They're like, I need something to feel fulfilled again.
Yes. You know, like somebody, like one pro said to me, he said, you know, some people like to make money and help a few people along the way. Some people like to help people and make a little bit of money along the way. And so these guys are in that second camp, right? They really want to help people. And if they can make a little bit of money along the way, so be it. So it's an interesting set of drivers. And one of them is coming from a youth sports type of platform that they had created and ran, and you know what I mean, did a yeoman's job with it. But at the end of the day, man, you know, working, I love working with adults. I work with both, but man, my life, my professional life without working with adults would be, it would have a hole in it. You know what I mean? So I've got to have that engagement. I've got to have that interaction with adult clients, if not adult peers, such as yourself.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm considered
the millennial gone adult peer. So yeah, man. So yeah, and you know what, Justin? What we might do? I think you'll be kind of up for this. Is maybe we'll bring, you know, one that once they get their paper, and we'll say okay, and we'll just kind of do some live dialogue. Well, what is, you know, what are your thoughts? What, you know, what is your velvet rope client? What, you know, and just kind of build this thing and use the show a little bit as a advisory platform for that. You know, and obviously, Justin, you have a lot of, you know, we're kind of entering into your world. You know what I mean? In terms of business mechanisms, branding strategies, story arcs, customer journeys. I mean, we're kind of,
I would tell you that that's the piece of it. I think like going through someone's coaching program is one thing, and it's like it's a piece of paper at the end of it. You know, the story I share is, so when I made the decision that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I wrote the book, because everyone that I had learned under said, you need something that is your credibility piece that will help you transition. They didn't say it this way, but like transition as, you know, from corporate into entrepreneurship as an entrepreneur leader, not a corporate leader. And book was one way to do that. So
great
I did
book,
that.
By the way. Great read, thank folks. You. Great you. Read. Oh, yeah. Riveting, but, man. Knocked it out.
I in appreciate
two sittings,
that.
Man. No, no.
High and, key. And it's a quick read. Quick read, by the way. Quick read. Entrepreneurship is the name of the read. But I share that because no one ever taught me how to build the business around it, though.
Right.
So that's one of those areas that I learned along the way, hit my fucking head against the wall several times and figure it out. And so I think part of the journey that and value, let's call it, that we could offer these individuals out there is not just the coaching certificate that on paper and in practice, right, has a lot of the practical use case vetted out. They know how to respond and elicit needs and ask the right questions and whatnot that we know are our core to coaching, but actually how to build a practice around it.
Well,
if I had known what I do now back then, fuck, I would be at a different level today, but it's all part of the process.
Well, Justin, you know, you and I have talked about this concept and I think this will be another way for us to, you know, write this fantasy book that I've conjured up in my mind and yours too, right? The TED 99 lifestyle. So let's say this. Let's say this. So, right? So I assemble these two other fellows, myself, and then there's you. Because how many guys retire, those guys that do retire from professional sports or are in some sort of a seventh inning stretch post-retirement and want to have a successful business? Justin, I can't help them, man. I mean, I can help them with their booze problem or sex addiction or something else, but, you know, help them build their business. I mean, I can a little bit, but only from what I know, you know what I mean? I just got rid of a Yellow Page salesman 10 minutes ago. I mean, what do I know? I almost bought a Yellow Page app. Just kidding.
Ah!
That was funny, wasn't it? Anyway, but that just shows you how I have to shake off my boomerness, man. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not, you know, the world, it's 2019, you know, and now everybody on Instagram, let me help you make effective videos and the Grant Cardone planner. And man, everybody's all making my meals and all I have to do is work out and whew, you know, wow. You know, it's just, you know,
it's all fantasy. It's rainbows and unicorns, man. And I'll tell you, I'm straight up with the listeners out there. It's
straight
not
up.
Fucking easy. It's hard fucking work, but it's worth it. If you desire something more and you desire something more than, let's say you're, especially if you're in corporation today and you're unfulfilled, there is something more out there for you. You just have to be open to receive it and to learn it and work the plan to get there. So it's funny, man, the genesis, the intersection of all these conversation is just spiritually shocking, I'll say, because I was going to share with the listeners and it totally intersects with what you're talking about. Naomi and I, you know, have been going through for 5 weeks straight now, we've been going through pre-marriage relational counseling, right? And we're doing so to lay the proper foundational building blocks to a relationship built to last. For those of you that have read my book, you know that I'm once divorced. And this is something that I didn't do, right? I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a coach. We certainly didn't have a relational coach or counselor that we went to. And these are all the things that I look back and I'm like, fuck, if I had these pieces in place, maybe it lasted. Now, again, I say that in jest because the reality is the two of us were like, you know, oil and water. We were not meant to last. We were, you know, not a good fit together. But I learned a lot through the process. And so this is something that I learned. And funny enough, on Mother's Day, which started this five week journey for us, on Mother's Day, we're at Saddleback, you know, at church, you know, you know, most Sundays or whatever to Saddleback out here. And they had some guest pastors in from not out of town, but another church. And names are George and Tanja Gregory. Well, you probably never heard of them because they're still kind of up and I call them up and comers. But George and Tanja Gregory, amazing couple. George is actually the chaplain for the Los Angeles Chargers professional football team.
Okay. Awesome.
So he approaches coaching, you know, from a spiritual perspective. We connected with them as a couple and we're like, huh, we want to go through this, you know, program with them, which we just had encapsulated on Saturday with a full day, you know, retreat. I share that all to kind of reaffirm that there is a great need out there. And I mean, I spent some time with George over the last 5-6 weeks, just kind of picking his brain. And he has a lot of perspective to share on and had a lot of perspective to share on the athletes out there. And what do they do when they leave the game? And we think about all the wildly successful athletes that make 20 mil a year. You don't think about all the role players that are, you know, maybe number 40 to 52 on the roster on a professional football team. Yeah, they're making a couple hundred grand a year. They're making good money, as most professionals would say. But when that spigot gets shut off, what the fuck do they do?
Exactly. What a better wagon to hitch yourself to than a coaching wagon coming out of a sports career. I mean, it just goes well. You know what I mean? It just fits. And the coaching could be, you know, youth, adults, relationship coaching, business coaching, this coaching, that coach. So it depends on what that person's, you know, acumen is and whatever else. So yeah, I mean, you know, shoot, we could almost come up with a program of
just for athletes, for yeah. former athletes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Seriously, there's something to be said there, or basketball players that played in the D League or whatever, you know, the D League or baseball players that European, played in minor yeah. leagues. Yeah. European, right. Baseball players that played in minor leagues, never mm-hmm. like farm to team, me, that's, yeah. That's the sort of the sweet spot. And if I'm going to put my business hat on and look at it and carve out a niche, I think that's the niche. It's like, if you're a fucking millionaire, you know, pro quarterback, you're Russell Wilson or whatever, you've got financial managers, you've got brand managers, like, you know, a coach, you probably already have one of those, right? And you probably, your script is written, like, far beyond, your legacy is paved, you're good. But for that other part of the group that they played professional sports because it was their job, right? But right. they are not a brand. Right. That to me is a very, very interesting market segment that would totally benefit from a coaching program and going through that as a, hey, this is like, this could be my next, you know, income source, right? It could be my next job.
You know, exactly. I remember, you know, we had in the federal government, we had like a mid-career retirement seminar. And then we had this kind of, I don't want to say it was death row, but it was, you know. It's not death row. You know, you're within single digits of retiring. Okay. So you had two retirement seminars. And then all these wealth managers came on there and other types of presenters came on there and, you know, benefits and insurance and wealth management and, you know, mental hardiness and whatever BS that they threw at us back in the teens or whatever, earlier 2000s. And, but see, we could be doing that, you know what I mean? On their late career retirement planning, you know what I mean? We could be doing be one of the speakers or vendors or presenters or whatever and say, hey, here's this other way to make yourself useful, to utilize all that you've worked so hard for in your life with training and practice and training and practice and practice, you know, and, mm-hmm. and imparting some of these skills onto other people, and how great that would be. And, you know, people, and some of these guys that are role players actually do have a bit of a shelf life, you know, I mean, they do have a bit of a name recognition, you know, shelf life. Hey, I was, you know, such and such and played for the San Francisco 49ers and even was back in whatever, you know. Oh, okay. And they'll Google his name and look at some football cards on eBay and go, oh, man, low key. That really is that dude. Yeah. And so, you know, okay. And so it brings a sense of credibility, brings a sense of interest. So, yeah, between training people and having speakers, you know what I mean? Create some of these folks as speakers and send them out in like a speaker bureau thing. It'd be another interesting thing, right? Because there's always a spot for an athlete to be the keynote of something.
100%. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, that's, and listen, folks, we're just spitballing this for the first time here today. So that's not too bad, actually. I think that's not too bad here for first day spitballing a new business concept, right?
Yeah. So it's the sky's the limit. And again, that's the thing that's so good about coaching is that it's limitless. And number two, like you said, it is a lot of hard work. But even on days where I'll have cancellations or it'll be a slow day, or I might not have met my Grant Cardone goal for the day. Just kidding. at the end of that day, at least I lived and died by my own decisions.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, God's in charge, of course. But other than that, I have no one lording over me except for market forces. That's it. And man, I can't tell you how great that is. And I mean, you're kind of living that life too, Justin. I'm preaching to the choir, but you know, coming from a regimented paramilitary format and to come out, quite honestly, it scares the hell out of people. People look at me like I was smoking crack. You're gonna have your own business? Yeah. What are you gonna do if it doesn't work? Make adjustments. Oh, good for you. Good luck with that. They looked at me like, you know, I don't know. You know, I was stage 10 pancreatic cancer. You know, they gave me that look like, oh, okay. They leave the room. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people? You know, which anyway. So,
awesome.
And now, then, oh, you're so lucky. I hate that one. Oh, you're so lucky. Now, if they're talking about you meeting Naomi, then that might be a little bit. Just
kidding. Intervention, bro. I'm not gonna even lie on that one. That was a divine intervention. I literally was joking because a couple days before I went out, it was literally my first time going out as a quote unquote single man, right?
Wow.
After separating from my wife, and some people will say, well, that's a little quick to get in there. Well, listen, it wasn't my choice. I would have just gone and been a single guy, and you know, probably plowed through several women for a while, but. I remember sitting down probably a couple days or a week prior to that night and sitting down and mapping out, okay, what did I learn from this past failed relationship, marriage, you know, and what is it that I seek, you know, which is, this, by the way, is a great coaching exercise for any of you out there that are listening. What do I seek in the next relationship? What do I want more of, right? What did I learn? What do I want more of? John Maxwell does a similar exercise. Mm-hmm. He says, what did you love? What did you learn? Right. That's his exercise. So it's a similar exercise to that. And I'm writing everything down. And I'm like, you know, I want a woman that's compassionate, that gives back, that obviously, I mean, listen, I'm a guy, stunningly beautiful. Sure. You know, that was on the list there. And, you know, I think I even used the word exotic. And any of you that have seen Naomi, she's definitely exotic looking. She's a Latina. But I literally wrote all this out like days before, bro. And then poof. And meet her the first night that I'm basically out as a single man. Like, you cannot script this shit. It is real, right? When they say you must write your goals or your intentions, this is why.
Yeah.
By the way, promising you that if you write it down, it's going to happen. But if you don't write it down, I can also promise you it's not going to happen.
Well, yeah. I got you back on that for real. And I have my own little Grant Cardone spinoff thing on mine. I actually do have things that, you know, either goals or things that have to get done and little messages on my planner and little future, you know, next moves in the future type of thing, and get those written down and out there to help keep my focus and keep me focused and keep me centered on, you know, on what resonates with me and who I am and, you know, and that. And so, yeah, writing it down gets you a whole lot closer, you know, than not, because you'll get lost. You'll get distracted. You'll forget. You'll move on to something else. Something else will capture your attention or whatever, you know what I mean? It just could be even an emergency, and being able to write that down and get back to it means everything. So, that's some good stuff there.
Yeah. So just some stuff that I learned along the way. And I think you're onto something, right? And defining, so there's the three stages of a business, right? Defining whether it's a new business, new concept, or a new paradigm. That's another key element to kind of vet out right now. And not only what it is, but what you envision it to be, if that makes sense, right? So, right, today you could say it's a new business, because based on what you shared it's a new business. But we've only been talking for, you know, 30-some minutes here, and we may have not captured all of the vision, right? All the inner workings, all the levers, all the gears, right? So I suspect that, you know, when it's all said and done, maybe it is actually a new concept or a new paradigm shift, believe it or not. Knowing you, you're kind of you're quite the pioneer, even for a boomer.
I know. Yeah, it's really interesting, because a lot of opportunities come to people, myself included, being the boomer, but then stepping back and go, okay, I need to be doing something with this, and I can get it down the road to a point, but it just needs that extra thing, such as this podcast. Case in point, you know what I mean? The little podcast that could has legs, but certainly, right, you know, like you said, and I know you're going to talk about some brilliant things you have possibly in the future that are literally going to take us up a leg or two on the ladder from where we are as a podcast and a show. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's that ability to harness those opportunities, you know what I mean, correctly is really, I think, a huge key to the success. I think opportunities come every day to people. It's just, what do people do with them? You know what I mean? Just let them pass by you? Did you not see that as an opportunity? And I really, really try to see every, virtually, except for traffic or getting caught at a red light or stuff. But try to see everything as an opportunity. And even those red lights and trains give me the opportunity to sit there and think. Try to see these as opportunities and harness those opportunities. And it just makes your life so much better. But you just have to have that paradigm shift. You just have to have that worldview come around to that point. And I know that's easier said than done for folks that are depressed or negative or bitter or have been screwed over and stuff like that. Man, I get it, man. You know, but damn, you know what I mean? You have free will to make choices. We all have free will to make choices. Our thinking always precedes our feelings. And if we can change the way we think, we can change the way we feel and what we do. And that's that, man. I'm rant over. There we go. So, yeah.
Rant over.
Rant over.
No, I mean, Listen, the thought popped into my head because I've been, going through, well, from a business perspective, been transforming businesses since I was like a little kid, I feel like, in one way, shape, or form or the other. And recently, again, obviously what I've been doing with Babbel, but what I've been doing with other businesses it's taking off on taking shape and taking off at a new velocity, let's call it, right? And so for example, and I'll leave the company, nameless out of respect to them, but I'll just say that I fielded a call last week to be involved in a project with the Bill and Melinda Gates, or backed, I should say, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Like, starting to get in conversations with those kind of people. So
cool.
I know I'm on to, like, as an entrepreneur, you kind of know when you find the right recipe that works. It's like making a same dish over and over and over again, but you're trying different ingredients every time. And then you finally make it this one time. You're like, okay, that was outstanding. I'm going to change nothing from that. And like, that's good to go, at least for the next little bit. Starting to find that with a couple of the dishes I've been whipping up, and it's like, okay, all right, cool. And so it made me realize, all right, there's more to this and like to what you and I are doing, for example, Bruce, than just what we've been doing.
Right.
And we need to constantly strive to be better, to deliver more value to our listeners out there. Because let's be honest, they have plenty of options. They can listen to us, and there's probably plenty of listeners, podcast listeners out there, by the way, who haven't even listened to us, who would get a shit ton of benefit and shit ton of value from us if they tuned in.
For sure.
But how do we tap into those folks? Where do those folks hang out, right? So it's kind of part business development, part trick question there. Sorry to interrupt, but
That's the great thing about this. That's the frustrating thing about this, because this is a nimble vehicle that can go in any directions, like a bicycle spokes or something. We could go this direction, that direction, that, so there's right. So we could go in virtually any coaching ish direction we choose. And man, this show has, make no mistake about it. We've had, this coach, that coach, and the other coach, essential oils, all the way to the leaky gut, all the way to some Tony Robbins-esque type of people, to thought leaders, connectors, LinkedIn gurus, people who pack lunches for people in Beverly Hills and call it coaching, and eyelash threader, dog walker coaches in Beverly Hills. I mean, we've certainly brought health coaches and spiritual coaches. We've had several spiritual coaches of several varieties. So we've really ran a nice gamut, and when you and I were first kind of put together on this project, you talked about a tribe, and that just kind of like, oh man, or how I was thinking like 80 tribes, or types of coach. Man, when you said that, I just went, oh, a tribe of listeners, that's still kind of a stupefying theoretical construct to me, is that this show apostrophe S tribe, as it were, on certain platforms. So that's an interesting question to this day, I think, and to see what we do with that. And I think what we do with that will form out in terms of the guests that come on the show, like you said. And I'll let you describe some of the technological enhancements that may be coming onto the show.
Yeah,
you're gonna make a presence at our company. Our company party that I can't attend.
Yeah, which shame on you, by the way. But he's not for good reason, folks. He's gonna be
the set
having some. And no. Hey, maybe we'll we'll FaceTime you or something. No, I don't know,
man. I'm not on that big of a Jones, but yeah, I hear you. But yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming.
Well, I mean, just again, quick step back, and then I'll kind of talk about where I'd like to hear from the listeners and where we could potentially take this. Is you know, when you first introduced me to Concierge Coaches and invited me, so kindly invited me, you know, to be your co-host about a year ago, really, you know, as the millennial in me said, well, that's great, I've got all these ideas and whatever, you know, but the polite side, and I would say the somewhat smart businessman in me said, before you shake the apple tree, get in, basically kind of operate as if, right? As if, and then learn yourself, because, you know, you can learn more when you're in the actual role than you can, you know, just as an outsider looking in, and then start making refined changes. And so that's why I just, again, for you and also for listeners, you know, you've probably heard, hey, we're doing this or we're doing that. That's why. And this is, by the way, how I'd approach it with any consulting project, by the way, is the same way. You don't start making changes until you've entrenched yourself in the environment. And, you know, we've learned a lot in the last about year of working together, about one another, stylistic preferences and whatnot. But the thing I can tell you with certainty that I know Bruce and I would agree upon is we want to reach people and we want to help people. And that mission doesn't change. And so really it's a question of platform and how do we cast a wider net for our quote unquote tribe, let's call them the raving fans, the people that see value in the content that we're putting out through this platform. And I'll tell you, there's this big shift going on right now, moving toward video, moving toward collaborative cloud services, Zooms, the WebExes, the Citrixes and all that offer different, you know, unique value to the market. So I will tease the listeners out there by saying that you will see from us in future episodes where we will not only be providing podcasts, but we will be providing an interactive, shall I call it video cast or webcast streaming that we can then, by the way, stream that content over not only Facebook Live, but Instagram Live and all the different lives as well to reach more people. Because if we reach more people, then we can help more people.
I guarantee if we went Instagram Live, you know, and other live, yeah, that just people love to listen and look at stuff or even just check in for a few minutes. And I've even been lured into some Instagram people's live Instagram, you know, my morning coffee chat. And it's usually a bunch of narcissistic bull, but, you know, whatever.
It still lures you in, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. You know what I mean. And I know, you know, you're a handsome fellow, so people are just going to check in just to see Justin. So,
Bruce, don't get too cute. But so folks, be tuned. That's where we're heading. So, again, drop us a line, right? You know, I know Bruce is going to land the airplane here in a second for us, but. Drop us a line, you know. drop us a line. Let us know what you like, right? Like, and it's we're gonna make some decisions without you. Don't get me wrong, but those that are listening already, like, you are our core listeners. You're core fans. We want to hear you and respond to what you're seeing in the market. Drop us a line on one of our pages. We're at the Concierge Coaches across most platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, by the way. And let us know, hey, what are some of your favorite podcasts? And actually, perhaps we'll put that out there in the next week or two as kind of one of our posts is to see if we can solicit some feedback out to our subscriber and just our community at large.
Yes, sir. So you ready to land it? So here it goes. Another way.
Go ahead, sir. Land the plane.
Coming in. Runway 2 at Alpha here. So folks, that's it. Another one down here for the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And like Justin said, feel free to check into all of our social media places, the Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, don't forget to check us out on iTunes. And we got to rethink that too, I think, Justin, if we want to park some of these podcasts, or if we want to add to that, since iTunes is going to turn into Apple Play. I don't know. We got to take a look at that one. But for the time being, for the boomers and iTunes comfort, we're still on iTunes, and all of our shows are archived on the LA Talk Radio site for our show. We have a special page for our show there, and if you scroll down, all the episodes are there by month, and you can download those for free. You can listen to them anytime and see them on iTunes. I think a couple of the other sub podcast aggregators are starting to pick us up too. So, and Justin, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, folks can just go to my website. Everything's on there, nimmergood.com. I've got 3 great assessments that I'm going to be running, at least for the next couple weeks. They're questionnaires, 5 questionnaires, take less than 5 minutes to complete. And one's a coaching, consulting, and speaking training one. You complete those, and I'll personally send you a copy of my book. So little promo I'm running right now for the next couple weeks. So make sure you check out nimmergood.com.
Awesome. Another reason to stop by there for sure. Good job there. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So everybody, we'll see y'all here next week on the Concierge Coach Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a blessed week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.